The Big Wedding Planning Podcast.
Just two wedding planners tearing it up. Listen, learn.
Hello and welcome to the Big Wedding Planning Podcast, a show for anyone involved in planning a wedding. We want you to learn something valuable and be entertained at the same time. My name is Michelle Martinez.
And I'm Christy Matthews. Welcome and thank you for listening today. We're going to delve into a very important, sort of like the Bible of wedding planning almost, the ever-present, the omnipresent timeline.
Yeah. I've always called it the wedding day schedule or WDS, but most people call it the timeline of events, the wedding day timeline, right?
Yeah, schedule. It is called a schedule, I guess, the actual like label in my tab, but industry speak would certainly be timeline.
Yeah, so we thought this would be a good subject to cover just for anyone out there who's, you know, maybe you started planning, maybe you've been planning, but the schedule, the actual wedding day itself and the order of events is really important. And for me, I love creating wedding day schedules. Like it's kind of like one of my most favorite things to do.
Yeah, it's Excel sort of turns you on a little bit.
It really does.
All those boxes just waiting to be filled with formulas.
Yeah, it's so organized and
just the way things automatically appear after you put in certain information. Oh, it's so hot.
And you can sort it different ways.
Totally. You can alphabetize it if you want to. You can put it in chronological order.
Yes.
Yeah. You know how when you're plugging all the things in and then at the very end you go up to the top and do the funnel to put it into time order? Yeah.
Yeah.
Then it feels like time order. Boom. Done.
Damn. Look at that. Look what
it's
we've
like,
done.
Think about a puzzle, a 1,000-piece puzzle, and you've like flung the pieces all over your room. The process of completing a timeline, a wedding day timeline, like the end game, you have put that puzzle together.
It feels
like
damn
upside
good.
Down.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. It feels really good.
Yeah. I love putting puzzles together. I'll be honest, as I get older, I have been known to throw out a 1,000-piece puzzle on the dining room table and
take it up
for a week or two.
You do not do puzzles.
I haven't in a while,
gosh,
but I have.
I can't believe you do puzzles.
Oh, my God. And my kids, when they get puzzles, I'm like, come on, guys, let's do a puzzle. And they're like, okay. And then they, like, totally lose interest. And I'm like, come on, let's do this.
We have to finish.
Yeah.
We finish what we start around here, kids.
Yes.
I'm not a puzzle person. My brother was really super duper into them. He's, like, crazy smart. Analytical, mathematical, everything is, you know, has to have an answer. So yeah. I think puzzles were way more his thing. But I like a good timeline. It is, I can say with like confidence, it is like the bulk of our job is as a wedding planner is creating the timeline and putting all the pieces of the puzzle together and then facilitating the timeline on the wedding day.
Yeah, I think over the so many years I've been doing this and I've been planning weddings, and then as you know and as our listeners know, if you've been listening, you know, now I specialize and you do a lot of planning, but I specialize in month of coordination because I like this part. And for those of you listening, I think you do too, Christy, highly recommend that you hire a month of coordinator. But if you can't, we want to kind of give you an idea of how to create this wedding day schedule, or even you can even start it yourself and have your month of coordinator kind of finish it off. It'll be nice to hand that over to he or she.
Totally.
But it really, you know, what happens is you're planning this wedding for months, sometimes a year, sometimes more. And, you know, way back when you're engaged and it's the very beginning and you're looking at your ring and that kind of gives you that vision of the day. And then you're finding the venue and then there's like all this stuff, this tedious work involved, right, in planning a wedding. And you go on these highs and lows. You know, it's exciting. It's freaking you out. You're spending a lot of money.
Yeah, you like, love to talk about it.
You love
you're
to
stressed.
Talk about it. Oh, my God, do you talk about it, right? Hiring vendors, listening to your friends who tell you about their wedding. You're sharing. You're crying. You're laughing. And you get all this shit going. You got it all figured out, you think. And then there's this kind of lull, right, where nothing happens, right? After you've hired all the vendors, you know what's happening. You know where you're having the wedding. And then you kind of realize, if you haven't already, that there's a lot of stuff you got to figure out how it's all going to work out on that day.
Yeah, details about how each of the vendors are going to fit in with the other ones and arrival times. And there's going to come a time, probably, it'll feel like all at once, where you start getting emails from vendors that you've hired. And they're like, hey, we're so excited about your wedding. Couple of questions. Mm-hmm. And then they're going to give you 5 or 6 bulleted questions. You know, what's the parking situation? What time can we load in? Are the linens going to be on the tables before we get there with the flowers? What time is the cake arriving? Because we want to make sure we're there when the cake arrives to stick the flowers in the cake. And if you don't have at least a basic, a very simple schedule already written down, mm-hmm. you don't have the answers. And it's going to feel like, why are all these people asking me questions? And I don't know. Can't they just talk to each other? Mm-hmm. No, they're not going to talk to each other. They're going to talk to you or your planner. That's it. So our advice is, from the beginning of the planning process, when you're in that headspace at the very beginning, hiring everyone, our advice is that you just start a spreadsheet. Just start it. And, you know, we'll talk about our kind of hints at what should go into the spreadsheet, but just keep something basic going. And if the only time you have plugged into it at the beginning is ceremony start time, that's better than nothing. And then as you go with the planning for months and months, as you go, just plug in different times as you figure them out. So then when you get to that, you know, couple of months out when vendors start asking you questions, you have answers, and then they will give you answers and confirmations, and you start to sort of curate this timeline. You prune it. It's like
grows.
A bonsai.
Yeah, you nurture it.
Yeah, you nurture it. You love on it a little bit. And, you know, sooner or later, you'll either pass it off to your month of coordinator, who's amazing and wonderful, and you're so glad you hired her, mm-hmm. or you'll have it to answer your mom's questions and your maid of honor's questions and to make sure the venue knows what's going on. So whether you're hiring someone or not, you need a basic timeline in your back pocket as the bride or groom.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's always changing. It's always, you know, growing. You know, yeah. I start one with, we started about a month before. That's when I start creating my timeline and sit down with my clients and say, all right, I've read through your contracts.
Yeah. Give me everything you got.
Give me everything you got. I've read through it. You've got your photographer for 6 hours. You've got the DJ for 5. You got,
you can
this,
get
that,
to the venue at this time.
Right. You know, here's a couple trouble areas. So let's start at the beginning. So first off, like Christy said, you need a spreadsheet, whether it's Excel, which a lot of people these days, you've got Gmail, you've got Google, and there's a free, you know, you got Google Drive, you create your Google Sheet, right? And you want to think, every time you add something to your timeline, the 5 W's, is that 5? Who, what, when, where?
Who again?
Who again? Why do I have who there again?
I don't know.
Oh, well, it could be who as far as who's arriving and then who as far as who's receiving them. There might be a couple of who's, or it might be several people in the wedding party arriving. But who, what, when, where, why? Is there a why? I don't know. There might be. But at least who, what, when, and where. Okay.
Right. And the columns that you're, like the 4 columns, that are on our timeline are start time, end time, what, which is kind of where all the information goes, ceremony, on deck, five bridesmaids, five groomsmen. You put all that into the what, and then next to that is who. And that who column is a really great tool for vendors on the wedding day to just quickly reference if there's an issue, who do I go to take care of it? Oh, yeah. The DJ, because he's right here in the who column.
So once you have this schedule, once it's created, once you've put the whole puzzle together and you have this beautiful schedule you're really excited about, all of your what I call key vendors will have copies of this schedule on the wedding day, by the way. So yeah. This way they're all following along and there's no question. There's not 50 people coming up to you asking, oh, what time do you want to do this? What time do you want to do that? When are we doing this? When are we doing that? They all have this schedule.
Right. And this is a schedule that you can go over with your wedding party the day before, too, at the rehearsal. Just the basics. Hey, guys, everyone needs to be here at this time. We're going to be lining up at this time. And then don't go anywhere after ceremony because we're taking photos. Those are all like little micro events that Michelle or I would facilitate if we were your month of coordinator. But it's easy enough to just have this list and, you know, quickly run through it with people the day before. We do not suggest that you hold a timeline in your hand on your wedding day.
Well,
don't do that.
I guess that's where, I mean, you and I certainly, we never allow our clients to have that timeline in their hand on the wedding day because that's just, they don't need to be worrying about that part. If you're not hiring a coordinator, hopefully maybe, you know, your caterer, you could hand it to them and say, could you possibly help me be in charge of this?
Or the DJ
maybe
will
friend,
have
the DJ, yeah. You know, they will all work off of it. Hopefully you always have those vendors that always, you know, there's always some vendors that have this like, I don't need that kind of attitude. Right.
Yeah.
Of course, we never work with them again, but there sometimes is that. So just be careful, again, if you're not hiring a month of coordinator, that you stress to your vendors who you are paying, you must go off of this timeline. I don't care if you have your own format. That's fine. Drop my info into it, but you mm-hmm. must have this timeline in your hands on the wedding day.
Right. And what we're getting at with all of this information, because there is so much information about creating your timeline and then also facilitating and delegating about your timeline. But the basic idea and what we want to keep in mind for this podcast, and we'll go into more detail, is to have those basic micro events of the day, mm-hmm. put those in right at the beginning of your planning process. And then as you go and you decide on what times things are going to start, input the times. So if your ceremony is starting at 3:30, put 3:30 for your ceremony. And it's okay if you don't know exactly when dinner is going to be served after that. Mm-hmm. Things will start to fall into place. And vendors have done weddings before, so they can help you. Mm-hmm. If your caterer asks you, what time is dinner starting? And you don't know, just tell them, well, I don't really know. We know the ceremony is starting at 3:30 and it's going to be over by 4:00. And we would like a short cocktail hour. What do you suggest? And then they might ask some questions or bring up some points that will help you start to nail down some times. But you can certainly ask professionals that you're working with for their thoughts about these start times as you go.
Okay, so let's stay organized. So we started with use a spreadsheet format, right? Always include who, what, when, and where. Make sure your columns consist of at least start time column, end time column, a what column, and a who column. At least those four columns. And keep it simple so it's easy to read, so it translates well for all of your vendors. Once you have that framework, let's start with the skeleton. The right off the bat, put a line item for ceremony under the what column. Put a line item for a row for cocktail reception under the what column, if you're having one. Put a row for dinner under the what column. And put a row for last dance under the what column. The reason we put last dance is that kind of signifies that's the end time of your event. Like if you're at a venue and they give you a block of time and you have to end the event at midnight, your last dance is at 11:55.
Mm-hmm.
So the start time for last dance is 11:55 p.m. The end time for last dance, here's a little tip, 11:59 p.m. Because if you put an end time on a spreadsheet of 12 a.m., when you sort it, it's going to throw that line item right up at the top of the spreadsheet.
Right.
So start time is 11:55 p.m. End time is 11:59 p.m. The what is last dance. The who, I usually put the words all in that, right? A-L-L. That way all the vendors, all the guests, you, any vendors that are left know that they're involved in that last dance.
Right. And then these are things that you put in the what column, and maybe you don't have the start and end time quite yet.
Yeah.
But one thing you might find out is that midnight end time, that isn't, maybe it's not the end of your event. Maybe it's the end of strike. Like the venue wants you guys all out by then. Mm-hmm. So then you would have to adjust your last dance accordingly, mm-hmm. because you need to give time for the vendors to come back and get stuff and get out and clean up and whatever's necessary. But that's just an example of looking through the contracts as you sign them, mm-hmm. which you should do anyway. Read contracts before you sign them. But just to make a note as we go, oh, I thought the last dance was going to be at 11:55, but actually it's going to be at 10:55, mm-hmm. because we need to allow time for strike. So that's why spreadsheets are so great, because the item is there no matter what you put into the other columns, and then you can arrange it all later.
Exactly.
So there's going to be information from every vendor's contract that you'll want to input into your timeline. And it's not overwhelming if you sort of keep up with it as you go and then do a final check, you know, there a month out when you start to really finalize plans.
Yeah.
You just need a timeline. It is what it is.
All right. So that's the skeleton. That's like when you build your puzzle, at least for me, I start by finding the four corners.
Corners. Yeah.
Right?
I know that.
So that's your four corners, your ceremony, cocktail, dinner, last dance.
Perfect.
Right, let's call it that. All right. So then what's next? When I build a puzzle, I start finding all the sides, like all the straight edge pieces, and like start throwing those out there. Does that,
right.
Do you do that?
Because they're easier to match up. Yeah.
Right. So for me.
And then
me,
you're building the frame, right?
You're building the frame. Exactly.
Look at us.
Damn, I love this. Okay. So for me, the frame would be your arrival, right? Because you might be getting ready. Maybe this ceremony location has a room for you to get ready. You know, maybe the ceremony location is the same as a reception. Whatever it is. Your arrival time. So the start time, your arrival time, end time could also be your arrival time. It's up to you how you want to do that. The what is bride arrival, groom arrival, my arrival, whatever.
Yeah, to
and
this
then the
room.
Who is your name as well as your cell number or whoever
yes.
it is. I always recommend putting cell numbers in the who column next to the names. So your arrival and then your partner's arrival. Who are you marrying? What time is that person arriving and where, right? The what is bride arrival at church. Right? And then your name and the phone number, your partner's arrival. And then anyone in your, if you have a wedding party, maybe you have an honored wedding party person, right? So if you, it's traditional and you've got a maid of honor, she might be stuck with you that whole day. She might be your girl and she might be with you the whole day. So what time is she arriving? Is she arriving with you? So you have a separate line item for that and her cell number. Any immediate family arriving, if they're part of your processional for the ceremony, they need to arrive at least 30 minutes prior to your first guest's arrival. Or if you're doing pictures before the ceremony, then your family, immediate family needs to arrive before the photographer arrives so that when the photographer gets there, everybody's there. So again, just start putting these line items in. You might not have the answer, but start building the sides of your puzzle.
You can move it around later, but it's a way to remind yourself, oh yeah, we need to know when the immediate family should get here. So if you just put all the information in on separate lines to start off with, you can move it around later. And this needs to be in front of that, and this should definitely be after that. It will start to make sense because you're going to see the bigger picture.
And again, I
always say, guess, you have it here too, guests could arrive about a half an hour ahead of time. So prelude music for the ceremony should start half an hour before the ceremony is going to start. And assume then that the wedding party needs to be quarantined, as I call it, and you know, in their suites or in the back or wherever they are, because guests are arriving and the only people that should be out and about are the ushers at that point.
If you especially if you have people who haven't seen each other in a long time, if your wedding party is out as guests arrive, that ceremony is going to start late because people will start talking, hugging, like, hey, how are you? Oh, my God, your daughter is so big, whatever it is. And your ceremony won't start on time. You must try as hard as you can to get that ceremony to start on time so that way all the rest of the day flows well.
Yeah, the ceremony starting for us wedding planners is actually, we sort of breathe a sigh of relief once the bride gets down the aisle. Because for me, I always feel like half my work is done. All the planning and setup up until that point makes for a huge part of the day. And then the ceremony starts and it's like game on, one thing after another from here on. It's like dominoes.
Yeah. As long as
that's why it's imperative to start.
Yeah. As long as those two people getting married are actually doing that at that moment, we're all good.
Yeah. Right? It does feel like, okay, whew. You know, yeah, whew, that's
here we
good.
Go. Let the games begin. Yeah. So I think, again, the skeleton, finding those four corners, getting your spreadsheet set up, building the sides of your puzzle, arrival times of you, your partner, your wedding party if you have them, immediate family, having that figured out kind of early on that month before because they're all going to start asking you.
Those are the people that are going to ask.
Yeah. Yeah, and those are the people that are going to start stressing you out. If you don't know the answer to those questions and they're like, well, what are we doing here? I have to make plans.
Yeah.
You know,
who's bringing grandma?
Right. What time does your grandmother need to be there? Because I need to make her hair appointment. Mm-hmm. And you know how she is. She wants to know what's going on. And you're like, oh my God, I don't know. So have that stuff figured out so you can give an idea. And it doesn't matter if you're wrong. If you tell your mom that grandma needs to arrive at 2:30, just tell her that. And then if you realized a couple weeks before the wedding that she actually needs to get there at 2:00, no biggie, you know, just let her know. It's okay. But at least have an answer and at least have an idea. Build your sides of your puzzle.
Yeah. Give people just enough information. Give your friends and family and your parents and anybody that's like on your ass about this, give them the information that they need and leave it at that. You got this. You can handle this. So, you know, you don't have to over-explain everything because then people start to get confused or ask more questions or they hear the wrong thing. So just keep it simple.
Or they start giving you their opinions.
Exactly, exactly. On wedding days, people tend to pull it together. Like everyone's working for the greater good on the wedding day, and that is you and your fiance and your giant life event that is happening. They sort of magically come together. They're like plays. Michelle and I both did a lot of theater in, you know, high school and when we were younger. And you know how the stage manager is always this like frenzied, wow, stressed out person. And the dress rehearsal seems like it's just a disaster. But the show always goes on. Like the play is fine. Opening night is a success. Your wedding is going to be a great success. You're going to have to figure out a timeline, whether you like it or not, whether you consider yourself really laid back. We're just super laid back. We're not really concerned with time. You still have to have a timeline.
Yeah.
So
timeline.
Yeah. So let's just, what we're saying is like, embrace the timeline and that's it. Just embrace it, accept it, sketch out some ideas, throw some stuff into an Excel spreadsheet, and you are going to be just fine.
You're going to be golden. You're going to be good. just be organized. If you're never, ever organized in your life, it's cool. It's fine. You can still be organized a little bit on your wedding day. We're not saying that it shouldn't be organic, right? Because I think that's also a lot of people's concern when they're like, timeline, that's ridiculous.
They don't want this to be too structured.
Right, right.
Militant.
No. And believe me, it won't be. There is always going to be a certain level of like, oh, okay.
Seat of your pants.
Yeah, let's do, okay, well, I guess we could do this now. But you want to have that skeleton. You want to have that structure, that foundation there for you. So
yes.
Yeah. So I think we'll stop here because this is already enough information, and we'll record another episode and continue on with this subject. I think next episode we'll talk about vendor arrival times, probably pictures, you know, linens arriving before cake, arriving before flowers, that type of thing.
Yeah. The more specific ins and outs of the timeline.
Yeah. But this is enough for you to get a good start right now. So
we'll circle back.
We will circle back. Please get in touch with us if you have any questions about this or anything else having to do with your wedding. What's our Twitter handle?
At TBWP Podcast, the Big Wedding Planning Podcast. That's also our Gmail account, thebigweddingplanningpodcast@gmail.com. So yeah. Email us or tweet at us.
And don't be afraid to get on iTunes and rate and review. That helps us get the word out about our show. And we really appreciate you listening. And thank you, Christy.
Thank you, Michelle. I will see you next time.
See you next time. Bye.
Bye.